You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell, guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show. Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of the Mission Matters Business Podcast, your source for all things business. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres to keep up with my book releases, book tour schedule, signings, all that other good stuff. Always love to connect with you there. And as always, if you'd like to apply to become a co-author of one of my upcoming books, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become an Author to Apply. All right, so today I have Enrique Gamba on the line, and he's managing partner over at Kemp. Enrique, welcome to the show.
Hey. Thanks, Adam. Thanks for having me.
All right, Enrique. So excited to get into today's topic. So the challenges of venturing cross-border and being a multicultural entrepreneur. I think it's a really on-point and interesting topic. So excited to get into this. And maybe just to get us kicked off, tell me a little bit more about your business and how you built it.
Okay. Where to begin? So I have a 16-year career now in the executive search business, and I started back in Brazil, my country of origin, and by having started my career in global companies, I guess it was kind of a natural path to start venturing, in different countries, different cultures, and cross border. Latin America came kind of naturally because of the way of doing business. And, I guess the level of maturity of the markets are similar. So I started there. In time, venturing across Latin America brought me to, probe the American market, which is a lot more mature, a lot larger, and of course, in a lot of different ways, a whole different challenge. What happened was, Kemp is a company that is 4 years old at this point. I built it with a few other business partners back in Brazil, who I think we were very much aligned in the way that we wanted to build this business. I had built different businesses in the past, but I guess we learned from that. And at that point, what we wanted is to build something that had a mission to connect the professionals to the ideal opportunity to leverage their talent. And it might sound easy enough or kind of straightforward, but it would depend on the model that you build. Because if you build a model that's very commercial and very sales-oriented, I guess you lose track at some point of actually what you're doing, what's your mission of actually, touching people's lives and actually giving them the opportunity to venture in different businesses. So two and a half years ago, I moved to the U.S. to build our branch and our business here, and not only to strengthen our stronghold on Latin America, which is, I'm based out of Miami, and most of, the hubs for Latin America are based out of either here or São Paulo, which are the two cities where we have offices. And from there, it was kind of natural to start building business in the U.S. as well. And I guess the way that we do business in Latin America, which is it's more, maybe more personal, maybe with a closer relationship to the client, it helped us establish, you know, a strong brand and relationship with the clients here in the U.S. And I guess that they like the way that we position ourselves. And that's where I am right now.
That's awesome. So what are the types of businesses that you typically work with? Like, what's typically a good fit in terms of a client, whether it's niche or industry or size of client? I mean, give us a feel for that.
Perfect. So we're not focused on a specific industry. We work across all industries, but we are specialists in each function. So I have teams that are specialists in technology, finance, sales and marketing, operations, HR. So that's the way that we built our business, being experts in the field across every industry. Of course, that depending on the moment and depending on how the market is, you know, different industries will have different, moments. And I guess that right now, e-commerce and digital and internet and fintechs, that's what we've been doing business with the most, but across our history, you know, CPG companies, pharmaceuticals. So we work across every industry, but right now technology is the main thing that's been happening.
So let's go a little bit further into like doing business in the United States and in Latin America. So are you placing in your foothold already that you have in Latin America? So do you work a lot like cross-border now, like placing international talent in the U.S. and vice versa, or how does that work?
Yeah, I guess you have a very good opportunity to do that. In terms of the U.S. specifically, immigration is the main challenge there. But, you know, it works both ways. I mean, there's a lot of companies in Brazil or in Latin America that are looking for talent because over there, the issue is lack of talent, you know. And, of course, there are American companies or European companies attracting talents in Brazil or in Mexico or in Argentina. And because of, you know, more of a cultural thing, normally, international opportunities will interest more a candidate from a less developed economy, you know. So yeah, we have a great opportunity there because we have a lot of leverage, a great network in Latin America. And when we come here in specific industries or specific areas in which there's, you know, lack of talent, we are able to offer a vision and a scope of vision across all the Americas, and to be honest, globally. We've done business in Europe, we did business in China, and I guess that the whole thing is becoming more and more mature of how you can do it. So when I first came here, I remember I had to, you know, fly back to Brazil every month or so because my clients wanted me to be closer to them physically. And now, and of course the whole pandemic thing, but now it's a lot more mature that what you can do is, you know, there's no borders. And I guess it's still a little bit soon to tell, but I've been already seeing clients being able to hire candidates, you know, all over the world, and they need to be physically present. So if you take out the immigration component, it's been a blast to be able to offer those kinds of opportunities to our candidates, you know. So it's been happening through, so from Mexico to the U.S., from Brazil to Mexico, from Argentina to Brazil, and so on. So, of course, there's the language barrier, but I guess candidates are becoming more and more interested in doing that, so they're becoming more and more prepared in terms of the languages as well.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Like, especially like because of COVID and just what's happened. I mean, I can think of how once upon a time somebody had to work with you or you had to have them in the office. Now I think things have changed, and people feel differently about it. And sometimes the geography bias is how I like to think of it, thinking that you need to have somebody there with you or the person that's in your town is going to be the best for the job, that they're not really the right fit or they're not the best. It might be somebody somebody on the other side of the world that's actually way better qualified and better for the job, and possibly at a more value in terms of price or what you're going to pay on in terms of the contract. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Tell us a little bit more about how COVID has affected the industry overall, because I think you have a unique vantage point working cross borders and kind of being in the middle of it all in terms of placing talent.
Exactly. So, of course, that the whole pandemic scenario hit us as it hit every kind of business in the world. I've always said that executive search or, you know, specialist recruitment is kind of a thermometer of the market because, you know, when something hits, when a crisis hit or the market goes down, one of the first things that happen is, you know, shut down new hire. So we feel that right away. With the pandemic, it wasn't different. The only thing that was different is that because we were already established in a multi-country and multi-culture setup, it was easier for us to for instance, to start with, the U.S. was hit first. Brazil wasn't that bad at first. Mexico was kind of normal for a while. And then on different stages, the different countries, you know, suffered more or less. That's where it's interesting to have a business done in several different countries, because you can take advantage of, you know, whoever or wherever there's more business. So that helped. But of course, that I think that the major change was the idea of not necessarily having to have people physically present. And that changed everything. I mean, it changed even my scenario. I, like, from one day to the other, clients didn't actually need me present anymore. So I was able to do a lot more business remotely. And that happened, of course, with, you know, several different businesses. And of course, that, you know, the candidate market changed because competition appeared in markets in which, you know, there was no competition. So it becomes better in terms of salary ranges. You have a lot more room, a lot more options to look where to look for talent. And not only internally, I mean, locally and domestically, there's a lot of more, you know, the level of maturity changed. In Latin America, it was way, way behind in comparing to the U.S. in terms of the level of maturity of being able to work from home or doing things remotely. And I guess even in the U.S., you know, the enhancement, everything changed in the market. And now I'm able to place a candidate from Brazil in a project in, you know, Seattle. And I'm able to have a candidate from, I don't know, Costa Rica, sell projects to a company in Brazil, and the barrier isn't there anymore. So I guess it changed everything. And the companies that are maybe in a better stage of, let's say, readiness to take advantage of that are going to, like, surf a wave right now. And that's what we want as well, of course, as entrepreneurs.
Man, that's awesome. So, Enrique, if somebody is listening to this and they want more information on Kemp and to connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you can get into our website, which is kemphr.com, or look for us. The main social media for executive search firms is LinkedIn. So you can look us up, Kemp, in LinkedIn as well. And, of course, send me a message on Enrique. That's Enrique with an H, .gamba, G-A-M-B-A, at kemphr.com. If you guys need any more ideas or any further explanations on that as well.
Fantastic. Well, Enrique, it's really been a pleasure having you on the show today and learning more about your story and all the great work that you're doing over at Kemp. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you had a lot of fun listening and learned a lot. If you did, don't forget, hit that subscribe button. Definitely love you to be a return visitor, listener, guest. Love you to have you back on. And Enrique, thanks again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. No, my pleasure. Thanks again, Adam.